I want to spend just a little time in the Word here, and then we will worship in our giving as we end out our time. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And the part of the backdrop of 2 Chronicles for Jehoshaphat is Jehoshaphat was a king who, for the most part, the scripture says that he honored God and he did all that God required of him. Jehoshaphat was one of the kings who would go into the high places and pull down those strongholds. And honor God through his worship. And so there was a reputation that Jehoshaphat had amongst other nations and other tribes where, you know, they knew you don't want to mess with him because God's got him. God's on his side. And so when you get to this chapter we're looking at, it's not that Jehoshaphat has not had God on his side. Now, it's just that the stakes are higher. Say the stakes are higher. There's more working against him, or seemingly more against him now than he's ever faced before. And his reaction is not unlike our reaction when things are happening in our lives or things seem to escalate, where it seems like two or three things start hitting all at one time. Sometimes we begin to feel overwhelmed with it, but you must remind yourself, God is never overwhelmed. God is never overwhelmed. And he wants you and I to be able to come into that place of believing and seeing and knowing that he's never overwhelmed. And so when we read in that passage, when word comes to him that there are these three nations coming against them, it says that he was afraid. And it says that he called the people together, and he called them together, and he called a fast. And when he brought the people together, he prayed and he sought God, and he reminded God of his covenant with Abraham, and that covenant now being down through his lineage. And he's saying, these three nations, you wouldn't let us take them out. You didn't take them out. Means you didn't kill them when the people of God came out of Egypt. And now you see how they want to reward us. And then he says, they brought all the people together and says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, but we're looking at you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I need to see you. I want to let you know that in 2020, God's going to begin to open your eyes like never before to help you see some things. Because he wants you to live in a place of confidence concerning his intentions for you. He wants to bring you into a place of seeing like you've never seen before. As a matter of fact, I just prophesy and declare right now that God's going to do for many of you, for many of us in this season, what happened for the prophet and his servant in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. It says this, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early that next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And he says, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? Because what he's seeing is larger than anything that he thinks they can handle. But just like in that moment for him, I declare to you that as you go into 2020, God's going to begin to open your eyes so that you can see from his perspective, so that you do not find yourself overwhelmed or fearful when things start to show up. He says, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asks, don't be afraid. The prophet answered, don't be afraid. Now, I want you to recognize that's a reoccurring statement throughout the scriptures. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. 300-400 times throughout the scriptures. Fear not. Don't be afraid. The word that comes to Jehoshaphat is, fear not. Don't be afraid. But then the prophet says to his servant, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. I want to encourage you in this year of seeing and believing, don't get stuck on the numbers. Don't get stuck on the numbers. Don't get stuck on the numbers and relative to people, relative to attendance. Listen, now hear me. Don't get stuck on the numbers relative to your bank account. Don't get stuck on the numbers relative to the short, what seems to be the shortfall in your budget. Don't get stuck on the numbers. See and believe. See and believe. This is the year of seeing. This is the year of believing. You have to see yourself moving forward. Believe that behind the scenes, God is moving. You see, the word that's coming to this servant is just that. He says, those who are with us are more than those that are with them. And then Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. Come on, say, open my eyes, Lord. I need to see something. Say it again. Open my eyes, Lord. I need to see you. I need to see you moving. See you. 2020 is the year of seeing and believing. Believing and seeing. Some things, you have to see it, then believe for it. Other things, you got to believe, and then you will see it. He says, open his eyes that he can see. What the prophet is saying, help him to see what I already know. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. The prophet said, open his eyes so that he can see. And once his eyes were opened, he recognized that God had everything under his control. God had everything in place. Jehoshaphat says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And I submit to you this. You will have opportunities in 2020 to posture yourself right there. God, I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on, I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. My eyes are on you. I'm not focusing on the problem. I'm not focusing on the circumstance. I'm not focusing on the challenge. My eyes are on you. Come on, say, my eyes are on you. And it was through the fasting, through the prayer, through the intercession, that then the word comes in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph. As he stood in the assembly, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. Now, there was a coming together in their time of fasting. When word went out, Judah said, we're going to participate as well. And that's why I want to encourage you as we are entering into this time of consecration. Listen, it's an opportunity for you to participate on a personal level as well as on a corporate level. Certain things will happen on a personal level for you. Then there's other things that won't happen except we press in corporately. And so when they come together, this is the word that the Lord gives. Do not be afraid. Same word Elijah speaks to the servant. Do not be afraid. I'm talking to you. Do not be afraid. Fear is the enemy's ground. Fear is the opposite of faith in action. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Now, this same word could have been taken out and put right over there with the prophet. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. And I want to help all of us because, you see, you and I will participate in the battle, but the battle isn't really waged between you and I. This is God's handling. And we have an enemy of our souls. And if you can recognize that even while you're in the midst of the battle, you have on your side the one who has won every battle. Never lost a fight. Never lost a fight. The battle is not yours, but God. Then gives these instructions. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up from the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. What's interesting about what he says here is he doesn't say you will find them dead. He just says you will find them there. And I want to submit to you this, that often, God will give you just enough to keep you going, to get you going, because he wants you to exercise your faith and your trust in him in the process. If I had known all of what 2019 was going to be like, I still would have done it. I just have thought a little harder about doing it. If I knew at this point this is going to happen, 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 I'd have thought a little more about it. But God knows, hear me, but God knows what you need to know when you need to know it. Hear me. God knows what you need to see when you need to see it. This year of seeing and believing, God's going to bring to you some things now that you can handle that you couldn't handle in 2019. He's going to allow you to see some things now in 2020 that you wouldn't have handled in 2019. But the fact that you weathered 2019 and you made it into this year and you still love God. Come on now. You still love God. You're still in pursuit of God. You're still in pursuit of him and his purposes on your life. That qualifies you to see some things. You see, it's like, You know how as a parent, every night you got to shield your kids' eyes, you know, when they're little. You know, you got your hand over their eyes, you know, they're real little. Don't look at that. They'll look anyway because you said don't look at that. But then there comes a time where, no, you need to see this. You need to know this. And you need to be able to believe God, trust God for yourself. Then the prophet went on and says, you will not have to fight this battle. That's interesting instructions. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out, face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Now, what sounds confusing here is what he's saying. You will not have to fight this battle, but you will have to go down and face them tomorrow. Why is that? I submit to you that it's necessary because once you've seen certain things, then you can believe for certain things. How many of you can say, my walk with God is where it is because of what I've seen him do? Absolutely. And so God will say, you're not going to have to fight, but I need you to see this. You're not going to have to fight, but I need you to watch this. Because it's going to help you. It's going to help you understand me. It's going to help you to grow. It's going to help you to trust me. So it kind of sounds confusing. Confusing enough that 2 Chronicles 20:20, the year of 2020, Jehoshaphat recognizes this is a great word. This is a powerful word. But do the folk really believe it? Have you ever heard a word that just sounded so good, too good to be true? I want to submit to you that very often when that happens, it's because you're looking at it through the lens of your current situation versus the future that God has in store for you. I know that to be my reality, that God brings a word in, and I just happen to be one of those people that just get picked out every time with a word from God. And I'm grateful to the Lord for it. Some have come to pass, others have not. Some were God, some were not. You got to be able to discern that, weigh that. But Jehoshaphat, now they got the word, then the next morning, now he's recognizing, okay, I need to get everybody on the same page. This is what he says. Early in the morning, they left the desert of Tekoa and set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. The King James Version reads like this: and they rose early in the morning, and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And it goes on, says, then he consulted the singers, and we know how that goes, and he sent the singers out, and they went forth singing, O Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. O Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. What Jehoshaphat knew was, I need to help them get focused on God, focused on the word that has come forth. Now, going back to the prophetic word, I want to give you these as points as we begin to move into this time of fasting and prayer, and they will be reiterated throughout the year. It says, you will not have to fight this battle. What does he say? Take up your positions. I submit to you, number one, that if you're going to see and believe, you've got to take your position. You've got to take your position. You've got to take your position. Now, I want you to hear it in the place of where you stand, but secondly, I want you to hear it in the place of not just where you stand in terms of here, but where you stand in terms of here. What is your position? What is your position on healing? What is your position on healing? What is your position on miracles? What is your position on prosperity? Why is that important? Because if you don't take a position, you'll be all over the place. If you don't take a position, you'll be all over. What is your position on healing? My position on healing is that God heals, that God is the healer, and God brings about healing however he chooses to bring about healing. My position on healing is that it is a covenant right for every believer. On yesterday, Pastor Nina was sharing with us, some of you remember years ago, the piece that I had put together, my destiny is a, my destiny is not negotiable. Anita, we still got that piece back there. My destiny is not negotiable. And it happened to be a piece, bro, you can sit a little closer if you want, man. Yeah, I know, man. Come on, you good. This is Mike. Everybody say hello to Mike. Mike is worshiping with us today and helping us on the drums. My destiny is not negotiable. That's my position. My position is that healing is a covenant right. And because it is a covenant right, then I believe to see it in my life. You've got to take your position. And the reason why that particular document was so important recently is because of a young man that's in the hospital right now that's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer throughout his body. He has some other health challenges. And Pastor Nina's been one to minister to him and help him receive some of the help and things that he needs. But she told me, she said, I walked in his room and right under the name of his nurse or doctor, he had that piece that we put together on his wall. He said, because this is what I need to see. Every time they come in and they tell me one thing. In this year of seeing and believing, you need to take a position, your position. Know your position concerning healing, concerning miracles, concerning prosperity. There it is there, the new covenant. My destiny is not negotiable. I will not negotiate. And then we list all those things there. And on the back are those same things with scripture references to go along with it. And I believe God gives us these things to be reminded. I was so blessed to hear that this young man in the fight for his life is standing right there. Yes. Standing right there. I believe that God can work miracles. That's my position. That's my position. The prophet said, take up your positions. Then he says this, number 2, stand firm. Stand firm. Take up your positions, stand firm. Number 1, take your position. Know what your position is. Then secondly, stand firm. In this year of 2020, the year of seeing and believing, you're going to need to take your position, and then you're going to need to stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Don't waver. Stand firm. Recognize that there's going to be things that will happen to challenge you, but you must stand firm. Find word to stand on. I believe in healing. Why? Because the scripture says he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace is upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. That's my position. I stand firm on it. And when things hit me, when I go to the doctor, hear something crazy, I walk out standing firm on that word. And you keep standing there, and you keep standing there, because you're believing to see, and you're seeing to believe. I see myself. There was a guy, There was a guy, and I'm gonna wrap it up right about here. There was a guy, yeah, that's the Q team, come on. Hey, Eric, oh Lord, you are good. There's a guy that, known for years, incredibly gifted musician, saxophonist. Met him through the International Worship Institute. This gentleman diagnosed as a child with sickle cell anemia. And he's in the hospital. And he's in the hospital and some complications had set in. Didn't even look like himself because of what the medication and the stuff was doing to his body. He had his wife bring a picture of himself holding his saxophone. He said, put it right on the wall right there so I can look at it. When the nurse came in and said, who is that? He said, that's me. She said, really? She said, yeah. He said, yeah. And I had my wife bring that picture so I can look at it and remember what I really look like. He says, because I'm going to see that guy again. And to this day, he's back in that seeing. That's why, hear me, God will show you things. He wants you to see. And then he says, all I need you to do is just believe. I'm not asking you to figure out how to do it. I'm going to show you some things. 2020 is going to be a year that if you're not in the right place, though, it's going to mess you up. You're going to look at it and discount yourself because you're looking at your situation. You're looking at your circumstances. You're looking at your finances. You're looking at your body. You're looking at your health. You're looking at a whole lot of variables that you think weigh in on what God's showing you. But God would not show it to you if it wasn't for you. If you were not the one that he wanted to move past every situation, every circumstance, everything that would stand in the way or seemingly be in the way. He's saying, all I need you to do is believe me now. And that's the word that Jehoshaphat was saying to the people. I know this doesn't make sense. One moment he's telling us not to fight, then here we go, we're marching out. He says, but I want to say to us all, let's believe God. And we will prosper. Let's believe the prophets, meaning let's believe this word we just heard that seems to contradict everything that's going on. I got a word before we came over here into this building from a man of God. Played it for you once before. He said, I see you raising up one of the largest armies. He says, you're a commander and a general. In the flesh, you can say, who, me? God, are you talking about me? Jeremiah says, who, me? I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. Who? Me? Yeah, I need you to see it. I need you to see that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you to be a prophet to the nations. What is that you hold in your hand? What is that? What do you see? I see the budding of an almond tree. He says, you have seen well. Yes. But you must recognize that in 2020, as you dare to see and believe, that there's going to be things that are going to try to clutter your view. There's going to be things that try to shake your confidence. There's things that are going to be trying to shake your faith, to move you from believing, to move you from seeing. One of the most powerful things that you could have in your arsenal is a journal. Let me tell you why. Because if you can write down what he says, in a season when you don't believe it and you can't see it? Give it some time. Because the you that writes it down here and thinks it may be for sister so-and-so, but not you, 6 months from now, year from now, 5 years from now, you find and come across that journal and you read it and you recognize one of two things. Either God has already done it, or the you that reading it today is the one now to fulfill it. This is the year of seeing. This is the year of believing. I'm speaking to the dreamer on the inside of you. This is the year of seeing. This is the year of believing.